John chapter number 12 and verse number 23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." What a concept. I wish I could stop and preach all of this. Verse 26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour came I unto this hour. For this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, think about this, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." Now notice verse 36. This is a key verse for tonight. While you have light, believe in the light. I want you to just think about that. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Heavenly Father, boy, it's good to just read the words of your Son tonight. Lord, we ask that you would help us, Lord, as we begin to chase around the Bibles for these few minutes. This little phrase, the children of light, the children of light. May we aspire to be so. May we live up, dear God, to what you have set before us. Lord, I pray, dear God, in this dark world that we would shine as lights. And the Lord, the light of the glorious gospel would shine forth, dear God, from this church. If I, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. May we lift up the light, dear God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to give you three words tonight. I'm going to give you three portions of scripture that we'll go to. Three words. Here are the three words tonight: believing, separating, and anticipating. If you take notes, that's the three-point outline. Believing, separating, and anticipating. I like to do word studies in the Bible, and I like when I find unique phrases to just type them into my computer and do a search and find out where else they pop up in the scriptures. I love what Jesus said in verse number 36, "While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." I love that little phrase, children of light. I believe that we ought to adopt that. I believe we ought to embrace that. I think we ought to want that in our lives, to be called children of light and to live up to that title, believing, separating, and anticipating. We're going to kick off our campaign in earnest. By the way, I didn't announce this. I should have announced 10 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. Any of the ladies that can come and help my wife, we're going to do the final preparation on the baskets. Come Wednesday, they'll be available for those of you that have signed up to pick them up and begin to deliver this. A Saturday morning, 9:30, we'll meet here at the church, and we're going to begin to shine an intensity of light into our Bus Route 101 area. We're talking about Sanborn, we're talking about Marco, we're talking about Lyons, and then Swiss City, and then Worthington, and we're going to shine an intensity of light. Almost all of our visitation, except for the other bus route visitation that has to be done, is going to be done in that area. I've personally rearranged my schedule so that the rest of March and really on into April, I'm going to be able to spend a lot of extra time just knocking doors in that area. I want the light to shine bright. Think about this, folks. Not only are we going to try to get to every door that we can. By the way, the young people, starting this Wednesday, will go into Sanborn. And when they get Sanborn done, then they'll switch the next Wednesday or so over into Marco. And so all of our visitation efforts are going into that area. We want to shine as lights. Hey, be a part of that, church. Be a children of light. And if you haven't had a chance to sign up, go back and sign up to deliver some of the baskets. I promise you, not only will you be a blessing, but you'll receive a blessing from doing it. Three different times we read in the scripture that we're going to look at tonight. Actually, there's four places in the Bible, but we're going to look at three of them. We're saving Luke chapter 16 for another message. Three different times we read in the Bible this little phrase, children of light. I want to take you to all three of those places. I want to teach you how to become a child of light. I want to teach you how to stay a child of light. You know, you can become a child of light, and the next thing you know, you have checked out and no longer are you a child of light. There's people, Christians, come on now, used to shine bright for the Lord Jesus Christ, and at some point they've slipped a bushel over the light. No longer are they affecting anybody for the cause of Christ. I don't want that to be the case with Jerry Ross. Please pray that I wouldn't turn back on the Lord. I'll pray that for you. Would you pray that for me? I don't want to be a used to be. I don't want to be a used to be. How many times am I knocking on the door and somebody's telling me how they used to do something? They used to go to church. They used to be a Sunday school teacher. They used to be I don't want to be a used to be. Don't let it happen to me, Lord. Please help me. I don't want to be that. I want to shine consistently. I hope that's the heartbeat of everybody in this church. Let's become children of light. Now, the first word that's going to help us to understand this concept tonight is found in verse number 36. While you have light, watch this, here's the phrase, believe in the light that ye may be the children of light. Now, let me give you the first point. Number one, the word is believing, right? Number one, believing transforms us into children of light. It starts with a belief. You're talking about salvation. I am talking about salvation, but I'm talking about something far beyond just salvation. See, folks, you can't begin to be a child of light till you become a child of God. And so what saves us? Believing saves us. There's an old jailer, an old wicked jailer, sinful life. You know what? Paul and Silas ended up in his prison singing and praising God all night. And then there was an earthquake. And next thing you know, this man falls under conviction, runs out, falls at the feet of the Apostle Peter and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And you know what? Peter could have gone into a long, lengthy explanation, but you know what he said? Here's the simple answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Folks, believing on Christ, believing the gospel, believing unto salvation, the death, the burial, the resurrection, understanding that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, according to the gospel, was buried and rose again, according to the gospel. A heart belief in what Jesus Christ has done, putting our faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. Finished means it's done. Finished means you don't have to add anything in the world to it. Finished means you don't have to say, well, I have to believe in Jesus, but I also have to finish. He paid it all. It's done. If we put our faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, then you know what? We become a child of God. Now, young people, let me speak to you, but let me speak to everybody in here, because this doesn't happen in the life of a young person. I'll talk to the young people for a minute, but I'll tell you what, I've seen adults go through this process. Did you look at that verse? While you have light, believe in the light. And what's the result going to be? That you may be the children of light. You know, I think there's nothing sadder in the world than to watch a young person born, carried into this church, and for 18 years be surrounded by light. And yet now be in a state where nobody would recognize them as a child of the light. Say, preacher, I don't understand that. I mean, how is it that we run the same program and we run the same system and all of them go pretty much to the same things and they hear the same sermons? You think about this. Those of you that are 18, Brother Chad, I've been praying for you, and I always pray specially for our seniors. I do. I mean, every year I take the name of our seniors and I just pour it on, because it's one of the most important years of their life. But I've been praying for him. He's going to turn 18 in just a few months here, and I got thinking about that. You know, for 9 of those years I've been your pastor, but for 9 of those years Pastor Robert Ross was your pastor. How neat. His age group is going to be the only one at this point that could say, you know what? I sat under Pastor Robert Ross for 9 years and got to listen to him preach. And then another 9 years, I got to sit under Pastor Jerry Ross and listen to him preach. Let me say this. You have witnessed and you have seen and you've been surrounded by an awful lot of light. An awful lot of light. Now, young people, that's true of all of you. Some of you, you know, the truth is you're surrounded by the light. But how in the world can somebody be surrounded by the light and then grow up and wander off into darkness? Watch this. He said this, while ye have the light, here it is, believe in the light. Say, is it that simple? It really is that simple. You see, there's two young people. And by the way, I'm not going to just preach this to young people. I've watched families come into this church. And they sit down and they put their family into the preaching of this church. And for a certain number of years, they're surrounded by light. But you know what? Now they're living in darkness. What happened? They were surrounded by light. They were exposed to light. But they really never believed in the light. Now, let me talk to you. You're talking about salvation. I'm talking about salvation. But I'm talking about way past salvation. Hey, a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning, you heard a message on the lake of fire. It's not the only sermon that you've heard if you've been here for any amount of time on hell. But you know what? You can be shown the light of the scripture and what it says about hell. But let me ask you, and boy, this is important. If you'll get this, this isn't just a sermon outline. This is, I'm talking about, this is the difference between where you're going to be 10 years from now and not. But you can listen to a sermon on hell. You can even believe it here in your head. You can even be able to answer and give biblical answers to almost everything about hell. But if you don't really believe in hell, I mean believe it here, that there is a hell, a real hell, believe it, then you know what? Pretty soon, all of that light that you were exposed to for so long, you're going to walk away from that light and go into darkness. Now, somewhere along the line here, Brother Samuel, somewhere along the line here, as you're growing up, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, all of these things that are being preached and taught to you, it just can't be, that's what Pastor Jerry believes, that's what Daddy believes, that's what Brother Jack believes. At some point, you know what, you got to start believing this. I mean, let me just tell you what, you say, preacher, I've watched young people and I've watched them grow up and it just seems like that you'll see them and you know what, they're good kids and they're pretty clean kids and they seem to be doing okay, but you know, there just seems to be that, I don't know, there's a little lack of something and then all of a sudden there's a switch that's flipped at some point and all of a sudden, man, it's like, boom, the light comes on and boom, they begin to build a spiritual life and get a spirituality and a seriousness about them. Things. What happened? Well, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. They didn't get saved. They just started believing what was preached from the pulpit. They just start, all of a sudden they're sitting in a sermon. Maybe it's not the first sermon they heard on hell or the second or the third or the fifth, but all of a sudden there was a sermon they're listening to on hell and all of a sudden their heart says, you know what, that's true. And I believe that. And I believe it. Listen, folks, you don't truly believe what, anything you truly believe will move you to action. I don't believe anybody truly believes what doesn't move them to action. And all of a sudden, you, for the first time, you're not just listening to a message on hell. You're seeing hell in your mind's eye. The Holy Spirit's opening your eyes and making it real to you. And you know what? You take a doctrine of the Bible and you say, I just don't believe about it. I believe in it. And you embrace it and you make it a part of who you are. And you know what? You cannot believe in hell, truly believe in hell as a born-again Christian and not do something about it. You know, we preach against sin, and we preach against it, and preach against it, and preach against it, and warn, and warn, and warn, and I'm not apologizing to anybody for that. I'm not going to stand before God guilty about preaching too much against sin. If anything, I'll stand before God guilty not preaching enough about sin. In this day and age, we got to lift up our voice like a trumpet and show the people their sin. We need to preach against sin. I don't mean it in a general way. I'm talking about in a very specific way. We need to preach against sin. Well, listen to me. You can sit out there and you can listen to that and you can hear it. And you know what? You can even in your mind kind of acknowledge it, whatever. But listen, if you don't believe it, if you don't really believe how hurtful sin is, how devastating sin is, how much sin kills and destroys, I believe, watch this, I believe everything, every time we sin, I wish people would write this down somewhere in their Bible. The wages of sin is death. I believe every time we sin, something dies. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. May we lose a little power of God. May we lose an opportunity. Come on. May we lose the ability to get a prayer answer. It's about time. We didn't just believe, oh yeah, sin's bad. But all of a sudden we take that and we put our, listen, what makes you a child of light? Believing the light that you're given. You can be surrounded by light, acknowledge the light, even enjoy the light, but never believe the light. And you know what? One of these days you'll walk out into darkness. Now, young person, you're going to have to settle this one of these days in your heart, okay? Are you going to take what this book says over what the knuckleheads say? Over what the backslider says? Over what the carnal Christian says? Over what the false prophet says? Because the minute that you decide, I believe this book, I believe the light that God gives us through his word, I believe that more than I believe what anybody else has to say about anything, you're going to start becoming a child of light. Let's go to the second place in the Bible, over in Ephesians chapter number 5. We'll do 1, 2, 3. We won't keep you very long. We'll have a time of invitation. We'll challenge you in this matter of shining as lights. And then we'll give you a little gift and send you to the house. Number 2, separating. We have believing, then we have separating. Separating allows us to walk as children of light. Believing transforms us into children of light. Separation allows us to walk as children of light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 3 through 8. I can't explain all of these terms, and you'll understand why I can't in the context of the children being here, but I want you to take this to heart. You young people are old enough. Most of you older young people aren't old enough to know what the Bible's talking about here, and I want you to take it seriously. Well, look at this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 3. I'm going to say some things. Some of you are going to sit back and say, now, wait a minute, preacher, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to just keep pointing to these verses until you acknowledge that what I'm saying is not coming from Jerry Roth. It's coming from God Almighty. Now watch this, folks. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, I want you, my young people, grab this thing. Don't just let the Bible be read and you not get it. Listen, come on, let me just be honest with you. This isn't just for young people. Hey, young man. Hey, young adult man. Has your mind become filthy? I mean, is filthiness ruling and reigning in your mind? Has the devil made a camp? Hey, young ladies, filthiness ruling and reigning in your mind? You thinking about things that really no Christian young lady ought to be having any thoughts about? Come on now, filthiness. How about this? Foolish talking. There's just a bunch of tomfoolery flapping out of your mouth all the time. Wisdom is hearing the word of God and obeying it. Foolishness is hearing the word of God and scorning it, or despising it, or disobeying it. I mean, do you just find yourself saying things that scorners would say and mockers would say? I mean, has this become a way of life for you? The Bible says, you know what, that shouldn't be named once amongst the saints. How do we fall into this stuff? How do we get to this place? I'm going to help some of you. I'm hoping a light comes. See, some of you already defend, oh, he's talking about me. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to give you a way out of where you're at. Okay, because you're stuck in a rut. You've been brainwashed. And one decision tonight, one Holy Spirit hit the altar decision can completely change the direction of your life and change the type of Christian that you are. What do we need? We need children of light. All right, we need children of light. Well, what produces that separation? Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. What, is everything a joke to you? Everything, even sacred things are a joke, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know. Now watch this. Now we're getting down to where the Bible's going to get real specific about some things. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any, what? Inheritance where? In the kingdom of Christ and, now look right up here. Oh, I know that this guy and I know this girl, I know this lady, I know this man, and you know what? They're out living a life of fornication, but they're saved people. Now let me read this again. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now listen to me, young people, I want you to listen to me. There's a lot of fakers in this world. Oh, but I've talked to him and he said he's saved. Is he whoremongering? Is he a whoremonger? Let me tell you something. No, he's not. Well, maybe I read it wrong, okay, because I only got about two amens, and they were pretty weak, okay? So, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now listen to me, folks. If somebody can live a life of fornication, and yet they want to claim to be saved, you can believe it if you want to, but I've just moved that person from my prayer list over where I pray from saved people to where I pray for lost people. I'm not saying let's condemn them. I'm saying let's pray for them and pray that God would save their soul. But the idea that, listen, and here's the thing. Young people, listen to me. I want to see if I can help you here a minute. Why would you let a whoremonger have more influence over your life than you would your pastor? Why would you let a young lady who is living filthy and ungodly in this world, and yet her opinion is more important to you than the opinion of your mom and dad? Please explain that to me. I mean, folks, listen to me. Before you listen to anybody or follow anybody or idolize anybody or allow yourself to be put under the influence of somebody, maybe you ought to look at the cleanliness of their life. Okay, I'm not talking about people being perfect, but brother, I'm going to tell you something right now. You read what I just read there, and there's certain sins that, you know what, saved people just don't do. They just don't do. You say, well, David did. Listen, there's a difference between committing fornication, I'm going to say with me here, and being a fornicator. By the very definition of these words, it's talking about somebody that has accepted and embraced the lifestyle. Now, come on now, there's not a person in this world. About the time you think that you are, it's impossible for you to ever commit a sin that's unthinkable, you may find out real quick how possible it is. But let me tell you this, David couldn't live that way. I mean, you know what? God sent a preacher and confronted him with it. And you know what? When the preacher confronted, the prophet confronted him with it, he didn't defend it. He couldn't live that way long term. And boy, read Psalms 51. There came a time where he fell on his face and he poured out his soul and he got right with God. I'm not saying that we're not capable of the act. I'm saying this, you can't live the lifestyle and embrace the lifestyle and defend the lifestyle and say, hey, I'm a born again Christian. Are you listening to me, church? What I'm saying is this. By the way, let's read on what it says there. Here's the next verse, verse number 7. Be not ye therefore what? Partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Here's our instruction. Walk as children of what? There's the phrase. And now this preacher, believing, I mean really getting to the point where when this book is preached and when the Bible is preached and when the doctrines of the Bible are presented, you begin to embrace them and believe them. And the more that you believe the Bible, the more you believe the light that you're given, the more you're transformed into a child of light. But you know what? As you are being transformed into a child of light, watch this, the devil doesn't like it. And so what he does is he sends into your life pretenders. Why don't they like the light? Why do they work so hard to try to keep you from wanting to live a separated Christian life? Why do they mock obedience to the Bible? Why do they mock holiness? Why do they mock sanctification? Why? Because the light bothers them. So here they come. Well, I'm a Christian and I don't do that. I'm a Christian. I've read the Bible. I don't think it says that. I don't think this. I don't think that. I don't think this. Hey, take a look at their life. You know what the Bible says? Don't be partakers with them. For ye were sometimes dark. That's how lost people live. Hey, that's how lost people talk. Come on now. Watch this. Who have you gotten comfortable to hanging around that has a filthy mouth? And you've gotten comfortable hanging around. We've got some really cool things now. I'm going to tell you, Blessed Baptist Church is so high tech, it's ridiculous. We are so cutting edge. Sister Stephanie Walton, and by the way, it was kind of cool the way this happened. We asked her to get some things to kind of change the look of the auditorium, and she showed up with these candles before they even knew what the theme was. You'd think that maybe God's in what's going on around here a little bit. But the candles she had, we had to pick them up. And there's a button you had to push on the bottom of them. And it would set them back down. And a lot of times it was me doing it or Brother Reiser. And guess what? Well, the candle looked straight to us. And we didn't think we'd messed up the little green stuff. I mean, it was basically still on there. But apparently ladies have a different viewpoint about how a decoration is supposed to look than us. You know what's weird about them? If you pick it up and set it down and you stand like this and you get it straight and you walk off, it can look straight, but when you walk on this side, it can be crooked. I mean, it's very complicated for a guy. So Sister Stephanie just went out shopping again. And guess what she found? She found a way for us to be able to turn these on and off without touching them. Come on, First Christian in Lenten. You don't have remote control candles, but Blessed Hope does. My Assembly of God in Jasonville, watch this. Here you go, watch this. Well, wait a minute. Watch, there you go. There you go. Come on now. Huh, it's happening here. That's what I'm saying. Hey, Castle, watch this, all right? Look at that. I know you guys don't have that at Bethel, you know. We got it here, brother. We got everything here. Come on now. Look right up here. Too many of you carrying one of these around. Turn one of these around. Come on. Let's see. It's Sunday. There we go. Oh, it's Monday. Hey, you shouldn't be hitting a button depending on what day it is. Okay, you just do this and leave it. Okay, no matter. Tuesday, just leave it on. A lot of times, depending on what time it is or what day it is, we turn our light on or we turn it off. A lot of times, depending on what place we're going. Okay, heading to work. Okay, I'm done with work. Come on now. This is good for us. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. Going to the, let's see. There we go. Getting ready to get dropped off. It's 8:15 to Christian school. Boom. Get my little candle burning. Do a little Jesus thing till 3:15, 3:30. Come on now. I'm trying to help you here, folks. Listen to me. Here's what I want to get to concerning the point here. What about this matter of separation? Here's what too many of you do. You know what? Well, I want to shine light bright for Jesus. I do. I want to be a light. And you know what? You mean it. But certain people get around you, and just that person getting around you makes you do that. Now, I want to challenge you. I want you to listen. Put the defenses down. Who is it that if you're in their presence, you can't be this? Who is it? Who's like a big spiritual black hole, and they get near you, and they suck the light out of you? That's what the Bible's saying here. Listen, if you can't be around a certain person and maintain your testimony, look right up here, then you know what you need to do? You need to get away from that person. Yes, sir. I a lot of times said this, Brother Joe. I would say, that doesn't make that person bad. Sometimes I think maybe it's just revealing a weakness in me. Right. I've seen a couple of kids that were pretty decent kids, but you know what? Together, they're not much good. Come on now. I've been doing this a long time. Okay, I've seen it. I've, you know, the patterns don't change. Okay, those of you that have little ones are saying amen, but in 5 years when your teens are teens, and I'm saying this, you're going to say, well, he's talking about mine. No, I'm talking about your kids and their future and the last group of teens and the teens before that. Listen, here's the thing. Anybody I get around, there shouldn't be an off or on button on my candle depending on who I'm around. I used to live like that, Brother Jack. I used to live like that when I was a teenager. If I was around the right crowd, man, boom, you know, I was okay with it. But you know, I get around certain guys that I really shouldn't have been hanging around with, and boom, that's the only way that I could really hang around them is blow the light out for a while. You know what God did? Listen, you know what God did? He began to convict my heart about it. And there came a time as a teenager that I walked up to an altar and I said, Jesus, you know what? I shouldn't be ashamed of you anywhere. I shouldn't raise the flag during some place and lower the flag when I'm around other people. I shouldn't live my life that way. So you know what I decided to do? I decided I'm going to do this. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the remote and I'm going to throw it in the deepest sea, because that way I won't be tempted to turn the light off. Hey, why don't you come up to an altar and just leave your remote control laying there and give it to Jesus and say, I'm just going to leave my light on. By the way, you say, what about people that don't like it? Well, you know what? If they don't like it, they'll either go away and not want to hang around you anymore, or you know what? You'd be surprised. Watch this. You'd be surprised how many other Christian young people are struggling with the same thing, and they just need somebody brave enough to set the example. And you'd be surprised how many of them would say, you know what? I've just been needing someone to follow. Come on. When I made my decision as a young teenager, when I made my decision that, you know what, I was going to believe that book. I'd been around light most of my life. I decided I was going to start believing the light. But I'm going to tell you what it did. Brother Joe, there were some guys that walked away from me, and that was it. Nope. Now, you know what? I didn't have to separate from them. They separated from me. But there was a lot of people that I think wanted the same thing. And when they saw me do it, they said, you know what? That's really what I've been wanting to do. That's what I need to do. And you know what? Watch this, folks. You give me one or two kids, just stop worrying about what the knuckleheads are saying. I'm going to live for Jesus. And you know what? I'll spit the devil in the eye. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to shine for Jesus. And you know what? You'd be surprised. A little revival might break out here at Blessed Oak Baptist. Come on. I'm not turning it off and on. Which one? Okay, let's get it on. Let's leave them on. I mean, let's just stomp on this thing. Okay, I'm not going to do that. She was thinking, how much that cost right then? Come on now. Listen, folks, believing makes you a child of God, but separating keeps you a child of God and a child of the light. Because the minute you begin to shine, you know what? Here come the vultures, and here comes the attacks, and here comes the scorners, and here comes the naysayers. You know why? Because your light's bothering. Give me the last one. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. What a great place to end. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We'll wrap up the message here. Children of light. Believing, separating, anticipating. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Of course, chapter number 4, verse 13 on down to 18, tells us a detailed description of the rapture. Verse number 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Praise God, we're not. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all, there it is, what's it say? The children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of darkness. Man, what a great day in a Christian's life, no matter how old you are, what age you are, where you just say, you know what? I'm one of the children of light. I'm one of the children of the day. I'm not of darkness. I'm not of the night. I'm done with that stuff. What a great moment in your life. Verse number 6, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us not sleep, verse 6, as do others, but let us watch. What are we watching for? What's the context of the entire chapter 4 and chapter 5? What is it talking? Well, we're looking for Jesus. We're looking for Jesus. The doctrine of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what it does, man? It keeps the batteries in your light. It keeps the fire in your heart. It does. Just sell out on this doctrine. Sell out on this doctrine. I mean, if there's a doctrine of the Bible you just want to embrace and make sure that you make it your own and that you just believe it and you don't let anybody talk you out of it, it's this. Get up every day of your life and say, Jesus could come today. Jesus could come today. It'll change everything that you do. It'll change your concept of every situation. It'll change your decision-making process. When you're tempted to do something you shouldn't do, Jesus might come. I don't want to be doing that when he comes. You'll be tempted to go somewhere you shouldn't go. But what if Jesus comes while I'm there? I don't want to be found there. I don't want to be ashamed at his coming. And you just begin to let that fuel the fire of your heart. And all of a sudden, you get a burden for souls. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. You think about procrastinating, putting off, going soul winning. You think, no, Jesus might come back. I need to go out and get the gospel. God lays a person on your heart. You got a family member. And you know what? I can't put it off anymore. Jesus might come. If you get eat up with the doctrine of the rapture, the doctrine of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. It just begins to change you. And next thing you know, you're living in anticipation for his coming. I want you to be children of light. God wants you to be children of light. How does that occur, preacher? It occurs through believing, then separating, then anticipating. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, please do a work of grace in our midst. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you challenge all of us in this matter of shining as lights in this world. I pray, dear God, that we would embrace the title. Lord, that we would do our best to live up to it every day of our life. You've given us an opportunity through the sacrifice of your son. You've given us the opportunity to be children of light. Lord, please help us to walk as children of light. May we embrace the doctrines of the Bible and believe them with all of our heart. May we separate ourselves when necessary from those that would tempt us to dim our light. May we live in anticipation of your soon return. Lord, please help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.